In the opening prayer today, we prayed for weapons of self-restraint. There's an inherent contradiction there. When we think of weapons, we think of proactive, going out of oneself to impact others. But we prayed for weapons of self-restraint. This church was founded by the Jesuits in 1879, the second or third church in the entire state of Colorado at its time. And St. Ignatius of Loyola was a warrior. He was a knight. He was uncatechized, ignorant about the faith, lustful of vainglory, power, fame, notoriety, wealth, and the like. When he was injured in battle, he was forced to be bedridden. He was a soldier who knew how to use the sword, who knew how to ride the horse and use his shield. He was a proactive man of battle, and his weapons were ones of violence. And reflective of his external weapons was his interior disposition toward arrogance and power and greed and lust. He was a slave of his own passions, but from the outside, he looked like a man who could not only command himself, but other armies. This injury was the greatest gift he ever experienced in his life, because it forced him to be bedridden for several months when he took up reading the lives of the saints, and he learned of a different kind of battle for a different kind of king and to honor the name and person of a different kind of queen. This conversion moment for St. Ignatius of Loyola led him to take up the weapon of prayer, of scripture, of discernment, reflective of an interior disposition of humility. He was a nobleman, wealthy and powerful, and yet, due to his ignorance of the faith, he sat in classes of catechism with little children, a grown, large, strong man sitting next to eight-year-olds to learn the same thing about the faith. His humility allowed him to do so because he had weapons of self-restraint. Humility, prayer, penance and fasting, almsgiving to the poor. And because he lowered himself before Christ the Most High, he would go on to study at the Harvard of his day, the University of Paris, and found the Society of Jesus, what is commonly known as Jesuits. Now, in battle, historically, and even to this day, it is common to carry a flag to let others know who you are and that you're coming. With drums and trumpets and a flag held high, everyone knew who you were and where you were headed, or at least where you were coming from. And yet in today's gospel, Jesus says, do not take care to perform righteous deeds so that others may see them. And yet today you will leave this church with the large cross of ashes on your forehead, the place that most people look at, normally speaking. It seems to be contradictory to put ashes on our forehead when in Europe they sprinkle it on the tops of their heads. They hide it, as is in keeping with the scriptures. But in this country, we have long suffered and endured the experience of anti-Catholicism, a racism and bigotry toward those who are Catholic. In this church in 1910, a person tried to burn it down 10 years before the Ku Klux Klan became very prominent in our state, Colorado being the second largest Klan membership in the United States of America, second only to Indiana in the 1920s. And this was a church full of immigrants and Catholics, nonetheless, and no less. So when they tried to burn the church down, and by God's grace and thanks to the Denver Fire Department, it was put out, the Catholics here, immigrants, known to not be wanted in this town, took the insurance money and made it bigger. They used weapons of self-restraint, not seeking war and violence against those who persecuted them, but to expand the house of prayer that would give them the virtues necessary to endure a spiritual battle with prayer, fasting, almsgiving, and generosity to the poor, rooted in the humility that St. Ignatius of Loyola embodied. Make no mistake, this is a spiritual battle. We wear the cross of ashes on our forehead to tell everyone we're Catholic and we're not ashamed. And while other denominations have taken up the practice, what matters most is not the visible ashes on our forehead, But what people cannot see, that we've been to confession at least in the last year, and that we go to Mass and Communion every Sunday. No one sees that. No one knows that unless they're in church. But today, many, many people who rarely ever go and haven't confessed in years will prominently put ashes on their forehead. Let us take up spiritual battle, as St. Ignatius did, praying and doing good in secret, so that our Father who sees what is done in secret can repay us. The ashes on our forehead do not save us. They're a beautiful, simple reminder of the beginning of Lent, but they are supposed to reflect a spirit of contrition for sin, which we literally embody by going to the sacrament of confession. They're meant to symbolize the act of humility, so that we humbly give ourselves in service to others who are in greater need than we. They are meant to symbolize to others, I'm not just Catholic today, I'm Catholic every day, but only God knows that, and my community of faith on Sundays. As we begin the ascent of Lent to Easter Sunday, let us begin today with true contrition, to become soldiers after that of St. Ignatius of Loyola, not with violence and aggressive and cruel anonymous posts online, and aggression toward others, and the abuse of alcohol, and the use of drugs, and the excessive eating, and the revelry that marks our culture and our society and this neighborhood, but to choose to decide to take up the weapons of self-restraint, that only God who sees in secret knows the contrition of our hearts. Only the priest who receives us in confession knows our repentance of our sins. And only those who accompany us in Mass on Sundays knows our faith and love for the Lord. May everything else be in secret, as St. Ignatius of Loyola would say, for the greater glory of God.